In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. One day, an Episcopal priest was giving a sermon based upon Jesus' commandment to love our enemies. The priest began by saying to the congregation, "I'll bet that many of us feel as if we have enemies in our lives. So I'd like for everyone here to raise your hand if you have multiple enemies." And the majority of the congregation lifted their hands up high. "Now, I'd like you to raise your hand if you only have a couple of enemies." This time about half as many people raised their hands. "Okay," said the priest, "raise your hand if you only have one enemy in your life." And just a smattering of hands went up in the air. "You see," said the priest, "most of us feel as if we have enemies in our lives. Now raise your hand if you have no enemies at all." After a moment of silence, the priest noticed a single hand go up in the very back of the church. An older gentleman stood up from his pew and boldly proclaimed, "I have no enemies whatsoever." A bit shocked and surprised, the priest invited the man to come to the front of the church. "Now, if you don't mind me asking you, how old are you, sir?" To which the man responded, "I'm 98 years old and I have no enemies." "What a wonderful Christian life you have led," responded the priest. "So tell us, how is it that you have no enemies?" "Well, they've all finally died." In today's gospel lesson, we find ourselves in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus continues to present us with some pretty radical ideas, including loving our enemies before they all die. This famous sermon is one of the most widely quoted in all of Holy Scripture. Over the years, it has influenced both Christians and non-Christians alike, from St. Augustine of Hippo to Mahatma Gandhi. Yet, unlike other familiar Scripture passages, which we like to take and frame and display in our homes and offices, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a refrigerator magnet that read, "Pray for those that persecute you." Or a bumper sticker that stated, "Give to everyone who begs from you." I'm guessing that's because although we may agree in theory with what Jesus states in today's gospel, for most of us, it actually goes directly against what seems rational and reasonable, doesn't it? After all, if we turn the other cheek, won't we continue to be striked over and over again? And if we give to every single person who begs, what will be left over for us? And if we truly love our enemies, won't we be viewed as defenseless, weak doormats? Yet in today's gospel lesson, Jesus states, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give to all who beg. Lend without limits. Love your enemies. And just in case these are not challenging enough, Jesus finishes up by saying one last thing. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. Jesus could have stopped with turn the other cheek, and I think that would have been plenty for us. All of a sudden, today's gospel sounds much more like a list of irrational and impossible demands than good news. So what are we to make of Jesus' words this morning? How are we to reconcile his command for perfection with our own broken, sinful, and extremely imperfect lives? Perhaps some of you have been keeping up with the Winter Olympics in Sochi. My wife and I have really been fascinated by the men's and women's figure skating. Here you have the best ice skaters in the world who have spent their entire lives working for this 4.5 minutes on the ice. And their goal is to perform their routine without any mistakes or blunders whatsoever. Meanwhile, the judges are carefully scrutinizing every single move they make. And for every tiny little slip-up, there's a deduction. I heard one commentator say that even if a small rhinestone or feather falls off their costume in the middle of the performance, that's a deduction. So each athlete's goal is to skate a perfect performance, free of any flaws or mistakes, and win that gold medal. Now, this is not the kind of perfection that Jesus has in mind today. You see, the word perfect in today's gospel comes from the Greek word teleos, which means goal, purpose, or brought to wholeness and completion. The Greek idea of perfection was not seen as flawless without mistakes, but more as functional. A thing was only perfect when it fully realized the purpose for which it was planned, designed, and made. So when Jesus says, be perfect, he doesn't mean for us to live without making mistakes. Instead, Jesus is inviting us to become the people God has created us to be, to live our lives the way God has always intended us to live, to remember, as we hear in verse 45, that we are already children of our Heavenly Father. Or as St. Paul reminds us in today's epistle lesson, we are God's temple, and God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. So today's gospel is not so much a challenge for us to roll up our sleeves and try really hard to be better, more loving, mistake-free people so we can finally win that gold medal. As we know, this just leads to more heartache and failure, because eventually we all fall down. Even the best athletes in the world eventually fall down and tumble into that wall. We cannot do it on our own. Instead, the gospel, the good news found in today's text, is grounded in the promise that before we do anything good or deserving, we are already beloved children of God, created specifically for His purpose. After all, the gospel never begins with what we need to do, but with what God has already done for us. And the good news is God did not wait for us to clean up our lives and make sure that our routines were flawless without mistakes. Instead, He first came to you and me in our suffering, in our selfishness, and in our sin, to show us just how very much He loves us. As the second century theologian Irenaeus once said, out of His boundless love, Christ became what we are, so that we might become what He is. In other words, Christ became like one of us, so that in return we might discover our purpose and become who we were created to be, beloved children of our Heavenly Father. Now I know this can be a difficult concept for us to comprehend and grasp. After all, everything around us says that love must be earned, that we must first do something that is pleasing to others, that we must do something that makes us different, unique, and worthy, that we must be successful and popular in the eyes of others, and then and only then might we be loved and accepted. But the irrational, illogical good news found in Jesus Christ is that God loves us exactly as we are right now. Whether we follow all of the difficult challenges laid out in today's text or break every single one of them, God's love for us will never change. However, as I have heard it said, although God loves us exactly as we are right now, He loves us too much to let us stay that way. He loves us too much to let us stay in our sin. He loves us too much to let us turn inward and focus only on our own desires and wants. Instead, He longs for us to turn outward and share the love that we have already received with others, not for His sake, but for our sake. So in today's gospel, Jesus calls us to do what St. Paul refers to in today's epistle as foolishness to the world, by doing such illogical, irrational things as turning the other cheek when someone strikes us, going the extra mile, and loving and praying for those who harm us. This is because Jesus knows that, ironically, it's only when we turn outward toward others and do these foolish things that we are set free from our fear, from our anxiety and sin. And we'd finally discover the freedom, the love, and the joy in who we were created to be. Unfortunately, when we forget who we are and why we were created in the first place, we end up separating ourselves from God and from one another. In his book, The Dance of Hope, the retired Episcopal Bishop William Frey tells a very moving story about a witness testifying in court about the genocide that took place in Rwanda. The witness told of a pregnant woman who, just before she was brutally attacked and murdered by a home invader, handed her tormentor a book and said, "Take this Bible, for it is our memory, and you have forgotten who you are." This anonymous woman's powerful testimony reminds us that when we forget who we are and our true purpose on this earth, all we can really do is misuse our God-given lives, sometimes with very negative consequences. However, the good news is when we remember that we are beloved children of God, when we remember that all we have and everything we are is a gift from God to be shared with other people, our entire outlook on life will begin to change. Because when we begin to see ourselves in this new and different light, with God's grace, we will also come to see others in the same way. During the dark days of the apartheid regime in South Africa, the Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, speaking to a group of white Afrikaner businessmen, said, "My fervent wish for you is that one day you will come to know just how much God loves each and every one of you. For when you comprehend that, then you will be able to see just how much God loves other people as well." Today, may we remember that we are beloved children of our Heavenly Father. May we remember that we are unconditionally loved and accepted exactly as we are. And today, with God's grace, may we reach out to others with that same love and acceptance that God has already shown to us, remembering that this is being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Amen.